The prayer says so well, this saint's contribution, who through the blessed Apostle John, you have unlocked for us the secrets of your word. If you think those articulations which guide and support our faith are all in John, and then through John in the sacred tradition and expressed in the creeds, it's all right here. Paul also, in another way, builds on this reality, but he doesn't express it in the same way. The first letter starts, you see, what was from the beginning? Hoin ap archis. Now that's just almost like the gospel, right? The opening lines of the prologue. Huh? In the beginning was the Word. You can place the beginning anywhere you want. That's the beginning of something existing outside of God. That's the beginning. Place that wherever you want. The Word already was. Trying to give us to raise our minds to have some dim concept of eternity. I want to tell you who God is and what He's like before we do anything else. I want to bring you into the Trinity. So the next line in the Gospel goes, you see, and the Word was turned towards God. Pros ton theon. Pros means turn toward, move toward, more than with, but we have our problems with that in English, turn towards. But well, now, then the Word is totally pros ton theon. Theos, God. And the Word is totally turned toward God. And Theos in Holoios. And God was the Word. Well, now wait. You just told me in the beginning was the Word, and He was turned towards God, and now you're saying He's Theos. Yes. And that opens up for us this dazzling abundance in God Himself from all eternity. See, that's what John is writing to us about in this first letter. You see? What was from the beginning. What we have heard. What we have seen with our eyes. What we have looked upon and touched with our hands. Now, can you see God? Touch Him? Yes. That's the Eucharist. Now, can you see how strong our minds have to become to just even get it? You see, in the beginning, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and seen and looked upon and touched with our hands, He has become that close to us. The Word of life. For the life was made visible. Imagine looking at Jesus, just walking along, saying hello to somebody. That's eternal life, talking to that person. That's God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. You see? And we have seen this and testified to it. And proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. And when you get that far, what do you do? You have to just stop and say, Lord, my mind is so fleshy, so stuck, so small, so concentrated on me, there is no way I could even get a glimpse of this unless you send me your blessed Holy Spirit to bring me into that company. God. It's funny. It just reminds me, I have a nephew who's nearing 60 now. And when he was in Montessori school, we were walking along one day in the little woods out there in Wisconsin. And he said, my Montessori teacher, told me there was no God. I said, well, she's wrong, Jim. She's wrong. Well, how do you know? I was just talking to him this morning. You see, that's the reality. We proclaim the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard. Look at the mercy of God to come and impact Himself on our senses. So that we'll get it. And He does this. This is what the sacraments are. Almighty, eternal, pure spirit. It's a word. We don't know what else to say. Became so that we could touch Him and feel Him and hear Him. And He wants to be known and loved by us. You know, St. Thomas, very smart fellow, St. Thomas. He asks in the last part of the Summa, where he's talking about the incarnation, whether it was fitting that God become incarnate. And he poses an objection to himself, as he often does, always does, in the Summa. God should be reverenced and adored and worshipped and held in awe. And coming down among us, he could lose all that. Aquinas answers, well, that's quite true. But when you judge when something is fitting, you have to look to see what was the intention of the person who performed the act. This is the great Aquinas, the great abstract, metaphysical, whatever Aquinas. God wants to be loved, not feared. Therefore, He came among us. He spoke to us. He looked at us. He died for us to win us over so that we would love Him. So therefore, the incarnation was perfectly fitting. It was the best way to do that. If God wanted to be feared and held in awe and scare us so we don't disobey, He could have thunder and lightning and earthquakes and volcanoes and everything. But that's not what He's after. You have to judge the fittingness of an act by whether it contributes to the purpose of the person who performs it. Well, God wants to be loved. Therefore, He came among us, talked to us, looked at us, finally died for us, and then leaves His body and blood for us. Because He wants to be loved. So, John goes on, we proclaim all this to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. Fellowship. That the word is communion. Fellowship, we shake hands and have a beer. You know, communion, we're bound to each other. We have communion with us. And our communion is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then this is the prologue to the first letter. This is how the last line. We are writing this so that our joy may be complete, yours and mine. If you get it, I'm happier than I'm just standing here and you don't get it. So I write this to you, we write this to you, so that our joy may be complete. we can share in this knowledge of who God is and what He's done for us and His purpose in creating, in coming to make reparation for our sin, to walk among us, to talk to us. You see? So the scholars, you know, we all look and say, well, now what, how can we classify these Gospels? What are they like in the literature of the day? Well, they're like a way, what's called a bios, a life, Plutarch's lives and so forth. But here's the big difference. All those other lives are meant to glorify, promote, or protect the reputation of a dead master. This is written so that we can have contact with a living Lord. This is not like any other literature. The person we're writing about, he's not on earth anymore, but he's alive, he's radiant, he's glorious, and he's here. That's why John gets excited, you see. Okay.